We're learning Gemara Brachos with Rabbi Lehrfeld in the morning Kollel. And as we finished the first parak this week, we've been dealing with the times to say Kriya Shema. When do you say it, etc. And interestingly enough, we had the Mishnah that we have in the Haggadah. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, Hanika ben Shivim Shana. I am like I'm 70 years old, and I never was able, I never had the schus to be able to tell people, Yitzias Mitzrayim b'laylos, that we have a mitzvah to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim at night. Ajde Darsha Allah ben Zayma, until I heard from Ben Zayma. The rabbi said, what's the background for this? And he gave us a 20-minute lesson in history, which I'm not going to do. But Rav Gamliel was set up by Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Gadol Hador, to be the Nasi, the prince. He was a descendant of David HaMelech. And Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai felt it was important for the continuation of Klal Yisrael that the family of Beis David continue being the number one officer official of the Jewish people. And that went down all the way down to Rebbe from Yehuda Anasi, who wrote the Mishnah. And what happened was, the greatest tzaddik, or the greatest Talmud Chacham in the Beis Medrash, was not Rav Gamliel, it was Rav Yehoshua. And it seems that Rav Gamliel made Rav Yehoshua's life a misery. And he was a very strict individual. And he said, I didn't act strictly ever for my own honor. I don't give one amount. I don't care about that. But we are trying to keep alive that the leadership of Klal Yisrael remains in Malchus Beis David, and that that leadership is unassailable. You may not agree with it, but I'm the Rosh Beis Din, and you've got to follow my pesach. Not because it's me, but it's where I, right? It's because of the, you know, the history we have. What happened was, eventually people got tired of Rav Shimon Gamliel, and they deposed him. He got voted out. He got impeached. And what happened is they now needed a new Reish Beis Din. They had people like Rabbi Akiva there, probably maybe the Gadol Hador, right? And they had other like-minded, right? Like, you know, great leaders. And none of them needed the aggravation. Nobody would step up to the plate. There was an 18-year-old Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So finally, right, they offered it to him. And as the rabbi said, he took it because unlike the other people, he could say, look, if they deposed me, I was 18 years old. Like, big deal. There's no real downside. Whatever I gain, I gain. And if I get impeached, so be it. Like, you know, I don't have the same investment as the other Sadiqim had. And so he said, yes. Or I think the rabbi said, I'm going to ask my wife. And right? And I think his wife may have said, "You got better things to do. Be a used car salesman," or something like that. But he took it. And we know every child comes home. And he tells us a story that once he accepted it, overnight, his hair and his beard turned white. And that's why it says, "I am like 70 years old, although I'm only 18. And the Rav said, "Well, why 70? Why not 75? Right? Why this number?" And he says, "We have a Kabbalah that his neshama was a Gilgal from Shmuel HaNavi. Shmuel HaNavi lived 52 years, 52 and 18, right? For those of us who still do math, we're 70. My grandson would go to a phone to see what is true or not. And so the question now became, they were dealing in the Beis Medrash, what is the mitzvah of Yitzchak, right? We know that Shema Yisrael has the Ahavta, then it has the Hoya. Technically, the Yoimer is not part of Kriya Shema. It's adjoined to it because of the pasuk in it. But it is Zecher L'Tziyas Mitzrayim. So we know we do it morning and night. But it seems at that stage they hadn't finalized what the halacha would be. Should it be morning only, or should it be nighttime too? Abba Ben Azariah said, right, "I had a Kabbalah. Even though you, the other Chachamim, don't have this Kabbalah from your Rebbe Bayim, that we do it at night, I have a Kabbalah from my Rebbe, who got it from his Rebbe," and, you know, we could say it went back to Moshe Rabbeinu, "that yes, we do it." And he said, "But I was never able to find you a pasuk in the Chumash which says you got to do it." Then he said, "Ben Zoy Makeh, Shenemar," and he quoted the following pasuk: "Leman Tiskor, as Yonseif Chamei Eretz Mitzrayim, Koyel Yemei Hayecha." Translated is, in order that you will remember the day you left Mitzrayim, all the days of your life. Right? We have the word Yoyim and Yemei twice. But he said, you know what Ben Zoyma told me? And he's right. Yemei Chayecha Hayomim. When it says, you got to remember Yemei Chayecha, that's daytime. We all agree. Add it to Kriya Shema in the morning. Koil, the word koil, the koil is here to teach us something. And what does it add? Koil, right? Halelois, that we have to say the Yoimer at night. I imagine everybody believed you had to say Shema and Vahoya, but it would seem that Vayomer was not being said historically by a significant element of Klal Yisrael. So he says to the Chachamim, okay, I got a proof. You know, it's clear. And they say, no. You know what it means? Koil Yemei Chayecha Lahavi Limaisa Moshiach. It is that we're going to still be required to say Vayomer when Moshiach comes. We're still going to be required to be, right, Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim. And The Rav quoted from the Beis Halevi, who said, there's an argument here, okay? It says in the Gemara that when the days of Mashiach come, the Yom Tovim other than Purim are going to be subsumed by the Yom Tov of the final Geula. And so it would seem, if you hold that, maybe you also hold that we don't have to say Yetzias Mitzrayim at night when Mashiach comes. Maybe. The Chachamim said yes. Or, alternatively, maybe it means it won't have the same level of importance, right, as it does now. And he said it goes beyond this. There's a machlokes in the Gemara. When did Klal Yisroel become a free nation? Was it during the night in pajamas in the middle of the night when chasing after Moshe, get out? And Moshe said, we don't leave like thieves. We don't leave. We don't stealthily escape. We're waiting till morning. Or is it morning? If you want to tell me that the main geula occurred at night, now we understand why we can put significant emphasis on saying Kriya Shema Vechelitz Yas Mitzrayim at night. If on the other hand, you're going to say it happened by day when we actually physically marched out in the sunlight, then maybe you might say it has less importance. And so he said that's one of the aspects being debated here by the Tanoim in the Beis Medrash at that time. He said the other thing is, right, the degree of how much the Yom Tovim are going to be, as he says, subsumed by the final Geula Yom Tov may also be a question. How important is, the rabbi said, Pesach going to be Shavuos? Let's go back. Pesach is the first time we had a Jewish nation. We were no longer Shvatim. Can we subsume the moment of our, quote, our creation? Can we ever subsume Sinai, the greatest manifestation that ever has or will ever occur in the world, the giving of the Torah? So we're dealing with some really large, large issues. And one could say, therefore, everybody's correct. Yes. We know that we say Kriya Shema by day because it's clear, that pasuk. V'man tizkor et yetzias Mitzrayim kol yemei chayecha, days. But also, the notion of night is also very important because whether it was a complete golus or not till morning, it was definitely significant. And also, we're going to say that in the time of Mashiach, right, the foundational Yom Tovim, the making of the Yidden, cannot be really subsumed. We've got to still remember the issue. And the Beis Halevi in this piece goes into this in much greater detail, but I don't think I could give over much more of the detail than I just did. Okay. I've got an essay here called Freedom and Self-Awareness. It dates back to 2016 by Rav Shimon Apisdorf. Right? Right? And he says, here's scenario first, the one. A guy gets up and he says, I can do anything in the world I want. I only have one problem. I don't have any idea what I really want to do. Question. Is that person free or not? The individual is able to do what they wanted, but somehow is trapped by not having a clear mindset, a direction as to what it is. Being totally unrestrained in what one can do sometimes can paralyze. What do? I fret over what step to take. So I don't know that that is really true freedom. Second case. Person says, sometimes I get so frustrated. I know exactly what I want, what my desire is, but I can't ever get to achieve my goals. Halfway through the steps, my motivation wanes, and I find something else to do. I get distracted. I don't stay focused. And I'm like the guy who said, quitting smoking is really good. I've done it 75 times already. Again, freedom. He says, here we have someone who has an idea of what they would like to do and actually generates some enthusiasm towards doing it. Unfortunately, for an external reason, they become paralyzed by forces they seem to be unable to control. Is it the fear of taking risks, the fear of failure? Is the individual lacking self-confidence? But you can do what you want. But we see that this exists. There's no bars around them, right? There's no police state saying no, and yet there's a self-imposed impediment. He says, I'm going to tell you a third scenario. Let's look into what he calls the mirror of irony. In 1978, Yosef Mendelovich Tzadik was still in the Soviet Union. He was confined to a dark cell deep within the Christopol prison in the old Soviet Union. April 12th, right, is the date, and he knows it's Erev Pesach. He is a prisoner. He's a gaunt human shell. But he has the ability to light a candle in honor of Yontif, made of bits of string, pitiful droplets of oil, and stray slivers of wax. Right? He has this candle. And you know what? Since I actually got, he says this is Erev Pesach at night. He wants to do Bedikas Chametz. He's going to make the nth effort to do it. In the morning, his back killed him. In the infirmary, gave him some therapeutic mustard plaster. Later on, he says, this mustard, and I don't understand this, would somehow take the place of Mora. A long-saved onion bulb in water had a bit of greenery. This is his karpa. Why? Somehow, raisins that he had were left in an old jelly jar to which he could add water occasionally, and it could ferment. The Haggadah, somehow, he had transcribed earlier in a little notebook that he took before he was in jail. And he did a terrible, terrible thing. This was the copy of a notebook. The original notebook he had given to Natan Sharansky. Is Yosef free? Yes or no? He cannot do what he wants. He's confined to a disgusting cell. He has no liberty whatsoever. He can't tell when the sun shines necessarily or the stars twinkle. And we would say that he's totally an evet. He's totally in servitude. But where's his mind? He's even more free with his thinking ability than his captor. He knows exactly who he is and what he wants to do. And he's gone to the nth degree of effort to accomplish this. He's accomplished it. He is actually going to be able to sit in the dungeon in the USSR and have a Seder. The thing the communists tried to take away from every single Yid. Today, I think he has Shmicha in Eretz Yisrael. He walks the streets. He learns and teaches, speaks. He can now buy the boxes of matzah, shmura matzah, and otherwise that he needs to have as his Seder. But this was not coming to Eretz Yisrael. Was not setting him, quote, totally free. He had become free in Russia. He had the mind of an independent person. Freedom, the rabbi writes, is the capacity to express in one's life values, ideals that stem from our basic human soul, from our neshama. The Talmud says, precious is the human being because we were created in the image of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And even a greater sign is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu told us, B'Tselem Elohim Nivra Adam. I, a Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? In the shadow, the shape, some manifestation of my own self, I created you, the man. All human beings are created in the image of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He says, it doesn't mean that there's a bit of Aphrodite and Adonis in us. But a Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us Bechira, free will. All human beings have been given the choice to make meaningful, substantive choices which can have a direct effect on their lives. Anyone who lives in their realm, their sphere, right? And even others. He said, it is these choices which determine the ultimate moral and spiritual quantity in which every human being ideally would live. Self-awareness is that we can stand outside of ourselves. We can look at ourselves from within and be self-critical. We can be self-encouraging. We can create goals and priorities and values. Are they ours? When we're strong and we're in a growing mode, yes, they are ours. We have the choice. We who are, say in our world, we have the choice of who to love, and God forbid, who to do the opposite in regards to. We have the choice how we express that love, what we do for the individuals, for the institutions, or the religiosity that we practice. When we sit back, and he says, and we make a cheshbon and nefesh, which we all do at times, and we say, is there something I can improve? That is the time when we are expressing that we are chofshi, we are free. We are no longer slaves to Paro in Mitzrayim. And as we say at the Seder, and the Kaddish Baruch Hu not taught us that, even though we may no longer be in the physical Golus, exile of Mitzrayim, our minds would have never been emancipated, nor would our existence. Okay, that's his word.
Okay.